Today on Enduring Word with David Guzik, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Santa Barbara.
Sinai, it's all about Moses. Zion, it's all about Jesus. Sinai, it's all about law. Zion, it's all about grace. Sinai, it's all about fear and terror, but Zion comes to us and speaks of love and forgiveness. Sinai is out in the wilderness, but Zion is the city of the living God. At Sinai, only Moses could come up on that mountain. At Zion, what does God say? He says everybody can come.
Two very different mountains are mentioned in the Bible, and in today's message, Pastor David takes some time to compare the two. The first, Mount Sinai, is a representation of the Ten Commandments and for the incredible power God showed to the Israelites. The second, Mount Zion, represents a different view of God, one closer to the new era Jesus ushered in when he died for us on the cross. Mount Zion invites everyone to take part in a free and beautiful gift that only Jesus offers. Now, here's Pastor David with today's study.
In verses 5 and 6, he says, "Then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. And then you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." At least, man, those sounds like pretty good things to me. Wouldn't you love to be special to God above all other nations? Wouldn't you love to be regarded by God as a kingdom of priests and as a holy nation? This is what God promised to Israel. I will give you a special role in my plan of the ages as it unfolds. And can we not say that this has been fulfilled and is still being fulfilled? Isn't it fascinating that this relatively small group of people, this group of people that among the nations and the ethnic groups of the world, numbers to be very small, despite their small size, the disproportionate influence that they have had on Western civilization and on the world as a whole, and especially how the Jewish people have brought forth for us our Messiah, Jesus Christ. When you put before all of that, when you wrap it all together in a thing, you see that God has blessed, that God has used, that the people of Israel have had a special role in his plan of the ages, and may I say it, continue to have a special role in God's plan of the ages. Isn't it fascinating that even today, the focus of the world in so many places is put upon this little nation that's as small as a U.S. state? Do you realize you could probably fit 4 or 5 Israels in the state of California, if not more than that? It's small geographically. It doesn't have a lot of people. Yet why is it that the world focuses so much on that? Because God continues to have a special role for them in his unfolding plan of the ages. They are special unto him. Well, now, verse 7, "So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all the words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, 'All that the Lord has spoken, we will do.' So Moses brought back words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses, 'Behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever.' So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord." Okay, notice what's going on. Moses comes down from the mountain after that initial meeting from God, and he tells the people, "Okay, let me tell you now. Let me tell you what God has done for you. Let me tell you how he wants to make a covenant with you. Let me tell you how he wants you to be a special people, a special nation unto him. This is what God wants." And what's the response of the people? It's right there in verse 7. It says that the people responded and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Yeah, sounds great to us, Moses. Let's do it. I just wonder, did they even know what they were approving of? Did they even understand this obligation they were entering into with God? I don't think that they fully understood. And that's why God said, "Whoa, let's back up and do this again." I like what G. Campbell Morgan said about the reaction. He says, quote, "Their answer was sincere, but it was ignorant." Yeah, let's do it. And God says, whoa, maybe that was a little too fast. Let's step back, and I want to reveal myself to you more fully, number one. And then I'm going to tell you the stipulations of my law. Let's run back to this covenant thing one more time after that. Verse 10, "Then the Lord said to Moses, Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. And when the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. I don't know if we can draw an exact parallel to this, but imagine if God was just saying this to our congregation, and we lived in this area of Santa Barbara, and there are no people here. This was just a wilderness, but the geography was roughly the same. And God says something like this: well, you know what? In 3 days, I'm going to appear personally to everybody on the mesa. So everybody get ready for this. It's going to happen. And we believed it. We said, okay, God, yes, we'll prepare ourselves because you say on the third day you are going to come. So this is what we're going to do. We are going to consecrate ourselves and we're going to be ready for it. But then God says this, well, wait. Verse 12, he says, I want you to set bounds for the people all around. You see, if God is going to appear up on that mountain, wouldn't there be something within us to say, yes, I want to go up there too. I want to experience. I want to feel it. I want to go up there. And God says, no, I'm going to set a fence that's a barrier between the people and myself. You're not to go beyond this barrier. As a matter of fact, if you dare go beyond the barrier, it's a death sentence. It's a death sentence so severe that I don't even want you to cross the barrier to get the guy who breaks the barrier. I want you to shoot him with an arrow from a distance. I want you to stone him with stones from a distance. I don't want you to even touch that man because it's forbidden for him to do this. But then there's a verse here that really strikes me. Verse 13, it says, when the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. Well, what trumpet? The trumpet sounds long. Who's going to blow that trumpet? Hold on, you'll see in a few verses. Verse 14. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. In other words, regard this as a special, unique time of ceremonial preparation. Seek the Lord. Prepare your hearts. Be ready to meet with God. Now, friends, I believe that there was something amazing and unique about this revelation of God that came down upon Mount Sinai for the people of Israel. But nevertheless, I think that there's some fascinating things that we learn from this. And one thing that we learn from this that we can apply to us right here now in the 21st century is this idea that it's important and valuable for us to prepare ourselves to meet with God. Let me put it to you this way. I'm so pleased that you're here this morning. And might I say, I don't take your being here for granted. But whenever I stand in front of people on a Sunday morning, I'm blessed to see how many people are here and that there's so many people here coming to worship God and just to be together in the Lord and to hear His Word. I never want to take that for granted because I know that there's a dozen different things that you could be doing, including sleeping in on a morning like this. And I think it's good. I hope that you're blessed by coming. I sincerely hope that, but I will say this, that your time among God's people on a Sunday could be an even greater blessing if you prepared yourself for it. And what do I mean by preparing? I mean, why not take some time to consecrate yourself, to set yourself apart, to say, maybe some time on Saturday night or Sunday morning, I'm going to spend some special time seeking the Lord, setting myself apart. I'm not going to follow my normal routine, but I'm going to set myself apart, perhaps in body, soul, and spirit, to say, yes, Lord, I want you to meet with me in a special way. I want to prepare myself to meet with you. Now, I trust that God would do something and have a blessing even for the most unprepared person in our midst. Maybe you just wandered in here off the street and you had no idea of preparation. You don't even know what to expect. Well, I believe that God can have a blessing for you. But how much greater if we would prepare ourselves to really receive something from the Lord? I think that that blessing would be magnified in our life. But then he says, let's get ready to have the Lord God revealed. Verse 16, I tell you, these next four verses, Some of my favorite verses of the book. Ready for this? Then it came to pass on the third day, in the morning, that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Wow! I don't know what you say about that. On the third day in the morning, the nation awakes, they gather their manna, they're a little bit nervous because God said that he would meet them in a special way by descending upon this mountain. They saw the barriers in front of them, and at the appointed time, Moses says, okay, nation, let's come as close as we're allowed to come. There's a barrier, but let's come right up to that barrier to come near to God. And as the thousands upon thousands of the nation edge themselves forward, they do it nervously because they can see what's on that mountain. It's not just like this shining, you know, rainbow over the mountain and little babies with wings flying around. And there's some deer skipping around. Oh, it's the presence of the Lord. No, it's not that at all, is it? There's smoke and fire coming from the top of the mountain. It's pumping out like a furnace. There's lightning and thunder everywhere. There's earthquakes under your feet. Now, listen, when you feel an earthquake under your feet, you go, hey, wow, this is a lot of fun. No, you get a little sick inside, don't you? You wonder, when is this going to end? What kind of damage is it doing? When you hear all of that and feel all of it, I want you to add all of that dread that would come from the smell of the smoke and the sight of the fire and the sensation of the earthquake and all of that. And I want you to add something that can't be replicated by any natural phenomenon. I want you to add something, the sound of a trumpet blast from heaven. You see, verse 19, well, 16 says it, and then 19 says it as well, that the sound of the trumpet was very loud. Ladies and gentlemen, Moses wasn't blowing that trumpet. Aaron wasn't blowing that trumpet. Joshua wasn't blowing that trumpet. That was no earthly trumpet. That was a trumpet from heaven sounding to earth, announcing the holy presence of God there in a special way on Mount Sinai. And verse 19 tells us that the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder. And can you imagine the tension building at the whole scene until finally Moses spoke to God? What did he say? I don't know. The text doesn't tell us, but would you allow me to speculate just for a moment? Moses said, stop. Stop, Lord. The nation hangs at a psychological thread. The stress is too much. We see your power. We see your holiness. We see who you are, and we know who we are. And the contrast between the two is too different. You know, there's too many people in our world today. They don't appreciate that God is holy and righteous, and they are not. That somehow God, do you sense it's a little frustrating for me to speak about this? And I'll tell you why it's frustrating, because it's hard to express, I think, rightly. Ladies and gentlemen, God loves you. He cares for you. He wants to be a friend unto you. But he's not just like this buddy that you can punch in the shoulder and be so casual with. He's a holy God. He's a consuming fire. And I don't mean that for a moment to say that he doesn't love you or care deeply about you. But there's something about this revelation of God at Mount Sinai that we need to attach ourselves to and say, yes, Lord, you are holy. Yes, you are great. Yes, there is a massive distance between God and man. And I thank you that you've bridged that distance in Jesus Christ. But I can't even appreciate how great the work of Jesus is until I appreciate how great the distance is between God and man. And that's what you've done for us at Mount Sinai. You've revealed yourself in a way that would make us nauseous if we think about it. Nauseous if we experienced it. See, because when you really understand who God is, and when you really understand who man is apart from Jesus, it should make you frightened. It should give you hesitation. So I imagine the trumpet blast getting louder and louder, longer and longer, until Moses says, "Lord, please stop." And then what does it say in those awesome words? It says that God answered him by voice. What did he say? Well, I think he said what begins Exodus chapter 20. He spoke the Ten Commandments to the whole nation by voice, and they heard it with their own ears. Well, look at how it's described here in verse 20. "Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called to Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up." Imagine Moses' collar getting a little bit tighter right then. You know, Lord, a burning bush is one thing. A burning mountain is another thing entirely. You know, you spoke to me from the burning bush, and that was enough to make me take my sandals off in reverence before you. But you've revealed yourself in such awe and in such presence among us. What do we do? So Moses went up, and then verse 21, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them.' But Moses said to the Lord, 'The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, set bounds around the mountain and consecrate it.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Away, get down and then come up, you and Aaron with you, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them.' So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them." Are you getting the emphasis here? Don't let the people come up on the mountain. There's a fence there, there's a border, there's a barrier. Do not let them come through. It's as if Moses goes up and talks to God, and God says, "Don't let them come through the barrier." And Moses said, "I already told them not to go through the barrier. They're not going to do that." God says, "You go down and tell them again. Don't break through the barrier." Why? Why? Because it's absolutely essential that they understand who God is, who they are, and the distance between the two. I suppose I could wrap it up right there. Let's all remember who God is. Let's all remember who we are. And let's remember the distance between the two. I suppose I could wrap it up right there, but if I did, I'd be doing a great disservice for you, biblically speaking. And this is the disservice I'd be doing for you. What happened in Exodus chapter 19 was real and terrifying and an awesome display. It was God revealing himself to the people. No doubt about it. But you want to know the good news? God did not stop revealing himself after Mount Sinai. God said, "I'm going to reveal myself to the people again and again and again." And then finally, in his unfolding drama of redemption, God said this: "I'm going to reveal myself to my people most perfectly, not on a flaming mountain. I'm going to reveal myself to my people most perfectly in the person of Jesus Christ, my only Son." He is a more perfect revelation of God. Now, Hebrews chapter 12 makes this exact point. Hebrews chapter 12 says clearly that under the new covenant, we come to a different mountain. That our salvation, that our relationship with God is not centered at Mount Sinai. It's centered at Mount Zion. Now, where's Mount Zion? Mount Zion is both a geographic but also a poetic description of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is where Jesus died for our sins. Jerusalem is where Jesus rose from the dead. Jerusalem is where he ascended to heaven. And from the right hand of God the Father, he intercedes for his people evermore. And the writer of the Hebrews wants to make it very plain. You haven't come to Mount Sinai. You have come to Mount Zion. So just make the contrast in your own mind. Sinai on the one side, Zion on the other. Sinai, it's all about Moses. Zion, it's all about Jesus. Sinai, it's all about law. Zion, it's all about grace. Sinai, it's all about fear and terror But Zion comes to us and speaks of love and forgiveness. Sinai is out in the wilderness, but Zion is the city of the living God. At Sinai, only Moses could come up on that mountain. At Zion, what does God say? He says, everybody can come. Ladies and gentlemen, more than anything, this is what I emphasize. If you want the symbol of Mount Sinai and what that's all about, it's a fence. It's a border. It's God saying, no trespassing. Don't come. And what's Mount Zion? Mount Zion, because of who Jesus is and what he did for us on the cross, Jesus opens his hands wide and he says this. He says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sinai is about exclusion, no trespassing. Zion is about invitation. Come unto me, Jesus says. Sinai put forth an old covenant. Zion brings a new covenant. Sinai is all about barriers and exclusion. But Zion, it's all about invitation and inviting you to come. I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. Nobody should think that Sinai was God's pilot program and that didn't work, so he says, okay, I'll try Zion. No, not for a moment. The work of Sinai is absolutely necessary and preparatory for the work of Zion. I'll put it this way. You couldn't have the glory of Zion unless you came to Mount Sinai first. Sinai, the law, understanding the distance between ourselves and God, is absolutely essential. You need to come to that place first, but here's the difference. God wants you to visit Mount Sinai and go on to Zion. There's too many people I know who follow God, and you know what? They live at Mount Sinai. They live in this sense of exclusion from God. They live a life dominated by God's law and legalism. They believe that it all depends upon them instead of seeing the glory of the finished and fulfilled work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. It's a pretty simple message, isn't it? Sinai was a powerful revelation of God, the great I am, but God gave us a much greater revelation than at Mount Sinai, the ultimate revelation of himself, Jesus Christ. So we come to Sinai, we visit there, we learn from it, but then we come to the beautiful work of Jesus Christ. Now let me just say one thing and then I'll conclude. This last bit is this. You might say, I don't know, but it seems to me like Sinai is better than Zion. I mean, after all, at Mount Sinai, what a thrill the people had. I mean, if you had such an experience, well, how would that impact your life? You think this way, man, if I smelled the smoke of Sinai, if I felt the earthquake, if I saw the lightning, if I heard the audible voice of God speak from heaven at Mount Sinai, I tell you what, I'd never sin again. Oh, would you really? I don't mean to spoil the story, but I'm going to do it anyway. Not more than 2 months from this experience at Mount Sinai, they're dancing around a golden calf saying, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. As necessary and instrumental as Sinai is, it doesn't transform the heart like Jesus Christ does. Don't you want him to change your heart? Don't you want to walk in the life and in the new power of a transformed life in Jesus Christ? You'll never find it at Sinai. You'll only find it at Zion.
In 1956, one of the most epic films ever made was released, The Ten Commandments. In this film, the deliverance of God's chosen people, Israel, was depicted. And as we well know, God used 10 plagues as the means to humble Pharaoh and his followers, the 10th plague being the most terrible of all. Imagine the place where you live, covered in frogs, all of the water in your area turned to blood. Truly, the God we serve is mighty and able to deliver anyone from anything. As Pastor David teaches through the book of Exodus, we'll consider just how much of this Old Testament book points us to Jesus, as well as glean everyday application. We hope you'll join us again here on Enduring Word with Pastor David Guzik. You can add today's message to your study library by simply giving us a call at 805-730-1400. Keep in mind, we need today's date to ensure you get the right teaching. Or send us an email. Our email address is radio@enduringword.com. That's radio@enduringword.com. When you call or email us to place an order, please let us know how God is using Enduring Word. It's always a great blessing to hear testimonies of God's work. Use the contact option at enduringword.com. At the website, you'll also find a number of Pastor David's messages for you to download for further study. Enduring Word is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Santa Barbara, in Santa Barbara, California. Join us next time, same time, same place, for another edition of Enduring Word.